All right, ladies and gentlemen, we have Whitney here on the show, my most Woo-hoo! Amazing wife. And we're going to be taking some questions from the audience and people that have commented and sent us questions. And we'll both be giving our answers and our insights. And but before all that, I just want to make a humongous, very, very important announcement that officially Whitney is pregnant. We have another baby coming, and the baby is a boy. So we're going to have two girls and two boys. What do you think about that, Whitney?
I think it's very exciting. Yeah. I think it's like a dream.
Yeah.
It's what I always wanted in regards to, you know, two boys and two girls.
Is that really?
I meant like if I was going to have another one, yeah, I would want it to be a boy. Okay. But I literally like before we had this one, I was like, okay, I have to be okay if it's a girl. So I make myself think it's a girl so solidly so that when I find out it's a girl that I won't be so upset. I won't be upset.
Yes.
So I was always just telling myself, okay, it's a girl. All right. It's a girl. Fine. And then when I found out that it was a boy, I just couldn't believe it because I was just so excited. That was my dream. I really wanted a boy. Another one. So I was so excited. And I still am. I still can't even, it's true. It's not even a joke. It's real.
Wow. Nice. I can see this. It's amazing.
Literally, when we did the reveal, I had to do a double take on the smoke.
It was a blue smoke that came out.
Yeah. Okay.
It's happening.
Yeah. So anyways, yeah.
Could have been a mistake on the blood work. I mean, who knows? Maybe we'll see. Anyway. Okay. I'm just saying that because like I've seen stories, but okay. Excellent. So with that done, let's move over to our first question. And what has the audience asked of us?
Yeah. So this is relating actually. And not all of these are from the audience. Some of these are coming from internally, but yeah, or but relating to...
Are you an audience?
Yeah, I will say that. So some of these are coming from the internal audience.
Okay.
So funny enough, the first question that I have here is, and I'm going to give a little context to some of these. With three growing children and another on the way, how has parenthood impacted your perspective on life? Has it changed the way you make decisions or changed your priorities in any way?
Absolutely. It's made me be more conscious of where we're going in the future and what we're doing and how we're going to be with our own children and how we're going to like interact with them that will help them to be good, productive, exchanging citizens and that will actually care about the world and not just like garbage it up. We want to be part of the solution, not part of the problem. And I think that in regards to at least me helping to put forward a hopefully better future through the donations that we've done, we're hoping to create that so that there is a world that is doing better than it is right now. So in 10 years from now, hopefully it's better than it is right now. In 5 years from now. And yeah.
That's a good point.
And also with each one, I definitely have my own personal wanting to be a better person myself and be a better version of myself. And they also make me want to invest in myself even more. So I've always invested in my own personal enhancement and happiness and self-help and betterness and things like that. So, but I would say that as I've had more and more kids, I've actually invested more and more time on that subject. And that's been very, very, I think, beneficial. I've noticed that, you know, I'm sure I'm not the only person that has dealt with this, but it's definitely happened where my kid just all of a sudden starts screaming because let's say the banana, I peeled the banana all the way rather than keeping the banana peel on the banana when giving it to them and then going through a shit fit just because of that. And then I would be like, just whatever I would have an illogical reaction to that illogical reaction of just eat the banana anyways. And then, but then So I've noticed over the years, I've become more logical myself and notice, okay, I understand that's an illogical reaction. I'm not going to react to that reaction and actually be able to see what's going on and use communication, which is what I also request of my children, to use communication. So requesting that of myself as well. Okay, I understand you don't want the banana without the peel. This is getting super mundane, but I'm giving a real life example.
Listen, if I give any of the kids a banana and it has like a little black spot.
You don't even give the kids bananas.
Has a black spot, it's a problem.
Right, exactly.
I know what you're saying.
Okay, good.
I have given the kids banana.
Okay. So definitely... taking it, like, over the years, I've noticed my own personal reactions to my kids' reactions has improved 100 times. And there are no absolutes. I'm not saying that I'm perfect because nobody is perfect, but I will say that I've gotten better and better with my own ability to be with my kids and help them to do better and also help myself to do better as well at the same time. And also that's also what's helped me to be able to confront growing our family and without getting stressed out about it. Because if I was the same Whitney that I was 9 years ago when I first had my first daughter, if I was that same Whitney, I would not be having more kids right now. I was completely in a different state of mind at that point.
That's true.
I was like just trying to live another day. Knowing, you know, Aaron wasn't there. It was me by myself 24/7. Literally, you were
not
there
24/7.
Okay, you're right. You came home at like 10:30 at night, right? So 10:30 at night, and then you would leave at 8 a.m., which is great. It was called a sacrifice mode. That's what I was always telling myself. We're in sacrifice, which I was totally okay with. And I never told you how I was really feeling. But I'm just saying that Whitney 9 years ago would never want to have 4 kids. But at that time, a year after that, I definitely did a lot of work on improving myself. And that's, I would say, is one of the biggest things that have helped me to actually expand my growth across many areas of my life. Yeah.
Excellent.
That's a very long answer, but I hope
that
helps.
Beautiful. That's a beautiful answer. So one perspective that I guess having kids and parenthood and whatnot changed for me was when you wake up at 1 a.m, 2 a.m, 4 a.m, you're changing diapers, you're doing this, there's like poop, whatever it is, and it doesn't matter what hour of the day. It gives you an idea that we are not pushing ourselves nearly as much as we can be pushed. When did you like, okay, I have to go handle something, and you're drawn to having to go like solve something? Typically, you know, let's say a normal day, whatever, it's like 9 to 5, 9 to 6, okay, this, and it's, nothing's really driving you.
There's something that drives me.
Yes, of course. But what I mean is, it's not like right in front of your face. Like, there's not like a, you know, it's not like a mountain falling under like an avalanche.
Oh, no, no, no.
An immediate thing. Of course, we're all driven by different things.
Yes.
But I mean, when there's a baby or a child that pees their bed or something and comes to your room crying or whatever, you're not just going to say like, I'll do this later or something.
Sure. See? Yes.
And so it puts us to a state of like, you're going to take care of something, whether it's inconvenient, whether, you know, it's not fun, whether like.
It's true.
You're going to do it.
Yes.
And it gives you this idea, at least it gave me an idea, that the standard of, I guess, dedication that almost every single human being or every single parent, not all of them, but I would say the vast majority of parents, they go into a level of operating not for themselves, but for another person. And they will do what they say, do anything for their child, because this is something that you created, obviously, with your spouse and or your loved one or however that baby was made. And that activity has your priority.
Right.
If you treated other things in life like that, you'd be so much more ahead. Like, because there's nothing. You see, the responsibility is that you're not letting anything get in the way. You are going to go and take care of this child. And so for me, it's raised a bar of what I can expect for myself. Because I didn't always expect very much for myself. And so, I don't know, that's one thing that that changed for me in terms of parenthood. Like, now that I'm like, okay, well, it just raises the bar of what you have to do in life. Because also the other aspect is all those kids are looking at you and what you're doing. So the level of example that you're doing, look, we all set an example for people, for who knows, our parents, our siblings, our community members, the whoever, your neighbor, everybody. You're setting example whether you know it or not. But when it's your own child, you're like, well, I'm like the number one example, right? We're the number one example for this child. So it just sets the bar at a new level in ways that you can't easily describe until you know you have a child. Yeah.
That's true.
And of course, other ways too. I mean, other things have changed, but that's one.
Great. I have another question here. So this one has sort of a multi-layered question, but we'll get there in a second. You two have been together for over a decade, working together for the majority of that time. How do you feel your professional life has impacted your personal life, or vice versa? Your personal life has impacted your professional life.
You want me to start?
Sure.
Okay. My professional life, I guess they go really hand in hand, because let's take an example of, I'll just take my example, okay, me, okay? When I basically was not working at all and Whitney was supporting me in the house to basically try to get my startup off the ground.
And your mother.
And my mom helped me as well. So my wife and my mom was basically helping me to survive, and I was basically doing nothing. Sure, my professional life was pretty bad. I wasn't really going anywhere. And after a while, I just said, like, I guess I can't go on this route and giving up. But also, it's not like I was so happy personally. I also didn't want a child. I didn't want a child. So it kind of all fit. Like, I don't want to expand. My drive at that moment was basically just do the bare minimum to not die, I guess. Like, if I could just watch movies, play video games, and eat, who cares, eat anything, that seemed like pretty good. But I also had no drive personally. I wasn't trying to be more fit. I wasn't trying to do any marathons. I wasn't trying to achieve any goals. I wasn't trying to get into a hobby. I wouldn't want to write a book. I don't want to have a company. Like, all of my own, my drives personally and my drives in business, when professionally I was doing poorly, I also feel like my drive personally was also very low. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, at least for me, it's actually been both, because I would go forward on the personal side and be like, hey, what can I learn? And like reading books and like doing different things to expand my own knowledge. And then also getting better professionally. And as I would get, okay, oh, I got my first job, you know, like my first job in California, like that paid like a non-volunteer kind of job. I said, like, wow, people actually, maybe I'm actually worth something. These guys are paying me more than we're going to pay the next guy. And then when I started working there and I saw that I was literally running circles around my coworkers. I mean, I would do the work three times as fast as them. And I,
because you're a genius.
Well, I mean, so the thing is, for me at that time, no one would hire me for 5 months. So how would I call myself a genius? Nobody hired me.
But you hadn't even tried.
No, I did try. I did try. We sent all these applications and nobody got back to me. Ever. And I said, of course, maybe I didn't like really try. Obviously, I wasn't like, whoa, I can't go to sleep because I didn't get a job offer. I was like, well, I sent out, I don't know, 400 applications. I feel like somebody should have hired me. But when I got that win and I said, wow, I actually can work better than these people. Why is it that I'm having this position? I think I can do better because I will work more than them. And so it was like a bit of a snowball of wins, right? Of like, oh, I got my first job. Oh, I'm doing good. Oh, okay. Let me do more. Let me do better. Let me keep going. And then that also gave me more confidence and more drive personally. So I think they just feed on each other, the professional and the personal. When you do well in professional, then you get better in personal. And if you do better in personal, then you're going to do better in professional. So it kind of, you know, and it also, similarly, if you have a really big loss professionally, then you might feel bad and depressed and whatever personally. And then, so you can't let that happen. You got to push one of them up and then bring the other one up with it. So,
And I had, maybe Whitney, you can answer. There was a following part of this question, which was, what skills and assets do you feel your partner brings to the table? What skills and assets do you feel your partner should bring to the table in terms of your relationship between your personal and your professional life? Of course, just since you guys work together,
yeah,
that maybe would be important to you.
Oh, okay. Well, I believe that his assets that he brings to the table are...
My good looks.
Are, you know, how... Definitely, that's the number one. The looks is always the number one. No. So for me, I'll just say the biggest things that I believe is that he's extremely smart. He's brilliant. He's not afraid to say his views. He's not afraid to try new things. These are all attributes that I saw before we even decided to get together that I observed, because before I was his boss, and then he was one of people that was working in a programming little area, and basically, or I was one of his bosses. But anyways, the point is that I had observed the way he thinks, the way he acts, the way he deals with different situations in the workplace. And I could see that how that would correlate in a personal setting as well. And so I think that those are all very basic foundational assets that he has. He has a very high logic ability. He has an ability to analyze information, read all the fine details, and come to very logical conclusions. And he also has a huge heart. He cares. He's one of the most caring and loving people that I've ever met in my entire life. And I don't even think that that's a bias. I've observed it. I've observed, obviously now it's a bias because I'm married to you, but I also observed it before we even got together. And your care and your passion, you know, and your excitement that you have in life. If you have excitement alone, you're going to be doing that much better in life because you're going to want to create. You're at a level where you want to do more. And no matter where we would go, no matter what we would do in our lives, I knew that you're definitely... you could make anything happen. And together, I know with my abilities that we could make anything happen that we wanted to make happen or that we dedicated our time and effort towards.
Beautiful. Thank you. That was the best thing anybody said about me.
Well, so. that's what I believe that you bring to the table. And I know that it's not very like, it's not very tactical in regards to, oh, he's like obviously a genius on the ad specifically, because that's not really.
I mean, I also didn't have that when we met or anything.
No, you didn't. But that's something that you were able to acquire because you had all those basic foundational attributes. And I believe most people have a lot of amazing attributes, and it's up to the person themselves to tap into those, attributes that they have or those qualities that they have. And it's not like, it's much easier to sit down and watch a movie. It's much easier to sit down and watch a series. It's much easier to sit down and go play golf. That's like a fun thing to do.
That's kind of hard.
Actually, I don't know. Actually, I personally am horrible at golf. I'm sorry that I just said that about golf. It's a good activity. And it's just, for me, it's very hard to get the ball into the hole, okay? And to me, I did never get it right, and it was not very exciting. So I'm sorry if I offended anybody. But my own experience, it was extremely boring for me. I'm sorry. So I'm just saying that if it's easier to do...
leisure
activities. Yeah, yeah. Maybe playing video games would be another one. So... I would say that it's good to tap into your own abilities. If you even like think about it, what are your superpowers? What are you so good at that other people aren't, and, or maybe that other people are, but you love doing and that you think you're good at. So you list those out, and then you can figure out, okay, how can I dive into that more? How can I use that to the benefit of not only myself, but maybe the people that I work with.
Nice. So I would say the asset that Whitney brings to the table is I feel this. She believes in me before I believe in myself. So this is an amazing quality. I mean, I would say specifically in a wife, and I think also possibly a husband, but at least as a woman, like, she's backing me up even when I feel like I shouldn't have backup. It's a weird thing, but all these things she was saying, she saw stuff in me before I saw it. Like, yes, I had some goals to maybe, you know, do good in some business or do some stuff or whatever, and I thought that possibly I could do okay. But I believe she had a bigger belief in me than I had in myself. And that is an asset in a relationship that is, I would say, at the top. Like, that the person that you are in love with, the person that you're with every day, thinks that you are a special person. Because if that doesn't exist, it's true, Whitney.
Yes.
It's true.
I'm pregnant, so I'm emotional.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful. I love that you're pregnant. And I love that you're emotional. So, but I don't think a relationship can exist without that.
Right.
If you didn't have your opinion of me that you do, I don't think we would have been together. But you actually see me as an important, special person. And for me, that's the asset that is invaluable. And no matter where we were, at the bottom, at the top, in the middle, somehow you didn't think ever that, like, well, this guy's a dirtbag or something, or like, I don't know. It was no matter what, even when I was literally showing you every day that I was pretty much a deadbeat and doing nothing, somehow it didn't faze you. I don't know. I don't know if I fully understand it yet.
I was just letting you have your space.
Yeah.
To let you figure it out for yourself.
Yeah.
Because I knew that if I pushed you too much, then you'd probably, it wouldn't be a good thing.
Yeah.
And you'd have to figure it out for yourself too.
Yeah.
I mean, I did tell you some of my, I did give you what my thoughts were.
Yeah.
I did tell you how I felt about it and what I thought about it. But then I didn't like enforce you to change something, because that has to be your own decision.
Yep.
Otherwise you would just be telling me how it's my fault for whatever it is that you decided to do if it didn't work out.
Yeah. And so, but that's the thing, is you believe that I would figure it out.
Of course.
You see, but people, that's not a usual thing, Whitney.
Okay.
Like, you have an ability to give trust and to have faith in a person and say, this person will make a good choice.
Right.
And let that person go. Because there's, I mean, you've seen it. You've talked about sometimes these, like, there's like these mom groups and stuff that I know you've been a part of at some points. And like some of these moms and wives and you've told me just a tidbit of some of the stuff that goes on. And a lot of wives, okay, do not have the same viewpoint as you. And they don't let this thing happen or whatever. However you did it was masterful, because it worked, okay? And it was amazing. And somehow you thought I was going to do well. And like, I didn't think I was going to do well. I mean, I wasn't sure. Sure, there's times when I was like, yes, this is going to work. And then it didn't work. And I'd be like, okay, crap, what am I going to do, right? And somehow, many times when I was sharing that, let's say, with people, mm-hmm. It was, nobody actually believed in me. Do you understand? Like, people would be like, that's ridiculous or that's stupid, or they wouldn't think that it would go anywhere. But I've never heard that, I think, from you from ever, like almost probably my entire life. Except, again, later when it's like, hey, maybe a small project on something. But at this point, it's like, whatever.
For sure.
You know what I'm saying? Like, now it's like some pet project. You're like, that thing is dumb. But like, you know, it's not tied to my, let's say, my beingness and the person who I am. And like, at that point, I had nothing going for me. It's like this one project, you know? You're never like, well, that project... Now I can't have 100 projects. And you go,
literally,
like, that project is dumb.
There's so many.
It's a different story now.
I can't
now.
Really keep track of them.
Yeah, yeah. So, but at that time, when it was like one crazy idea and everybody would like kind of shit on it, right?
Yes.
You never did that. So I would say that's like a massive asset. And of course, like, the reason you act that way is because you do care, as you're saying. Like, you actually believe in people and you think they're going to do well, and like, it's not just with me but with other people, and you've raised other people up around us. And so number one asset, your wife or your spouse, your husband, whatever, your wife should believe in you. Because otherwise, when you don't believe in yourself, you can still get out of that. See, if you don't believe in yourself, your spouse doesn't believe in yourself, you might never recover. I mean, I don't know, I've never been in that scenario, but that's what I would think. So, yeah. That's my answer.
Thanks, Aaron.
Yeah. Thank you.
Awesome. Okay. So, you touched on briefly a minute ago. Do you need a second?
It's okay.
Okay. So, and I actually had a question relating to, what are your favorite activities for relaxation? What do you do to de-stress or take a break from work?
Take a break from work. Well, actually, there is not like a lot of breaks times that I have right now, especially because now I'm pregnant. So I get my kids to bed usually around, by all of them are in bed by 9. The first one's 7, the next one's 7:38, the next one is 8:30 or 9. But the last one that's 8:30 or 9 recently has been going to bed at 10 or 10:30 or 11. And she goes to bed after me because I don't want to deal with it. I just want to go to bed because I'm pregnant, right? So, but this was really, this only became that way because Aaron has been at the house at around at nights. And when he's there, it's much harder to get the children to bed. And especially the oldest one. But anyways,
I like to play.
That's the point.
I like to play and like hang out and we read books
and
we
love
throw the kids in the bed and we do all this different stuff and like just play with
them. I love that. But it's definitely a different agenda when you're on a schedule to get the kids to bed. Sure. Right. And I'm a very much of a scheduled, regimented type of a person. And he's not. He's just does whatever the wind blows here. And a project is here. A project is there. A project is here. A project is there. And I'm more of like a system. Like the way it has to be, right? So, but I think it's a good mix between the both of us. So at the moment, there isn't so much downtime. I just go to sleep. I guess relaxing-wise, I like massages. He gives me foot massages more recently, which has been very, very nice. But I would say in the last 3 weeks, maybe I saw 3 hours of something on the TV. And I guess that's something that you could do to like get your mind off of work. But you usually don't have a problem with just shutting off and going to sleep.
Nice.
Yeah.
So for me, relaxation time, I would say the biggest way to solve like relaxing is you work on the thing that's actually stressing you. Like, yeah, okay. So I think taking a walk is fantastic, like just going out and like separating and whatever. But let's say you're at work and I don't know, you have a fight with your boss or something, and it's like, oh, and you're like, I hate this guy and I gotta go, blah, and I don't know, you go to box and punch some punching bag. I would suggest that maybe you need to have a conversation with your boss. You see what I'm saying? Like, rather than run off and totally do something else and then ignore this thing. And then you tackle the elephant in the room. That's for me. Like, so my relaxation, I don't feel very stressed almost pretty much about anything. Like, unless it was like the lawsuit, right? Like, when we had the lawsuit, I was so stressed, like ridiculous. Like, it was unreal. Like, my entire life was collapsing.
But at the same time, we always knew worst case scenario. We always had the worst case scenario and a plan for that.
Yeah, I would go do programming.
Yes.
But regardless, everything was going to this right now, I was extremely stressed out, regardless of a plan B.
Yes.
But at that point, yes, I did. I would like, let's say, go to church. I'd go for a walk. I would do things to like kind of get myself back in the game and be like, what am I going to do? But everything that I'm doing and kind of like stepping back, like some people, they say like, you see the forest for the trees or something, see the trees for the forest. Like basically means you're so in it that you can't really make the right decision. So yes, go out, go for a walk, go for a run, go for a swim, go do some activity different than what you're doing. If your problem is with a computer, don't go and be on the computer more. Problems with a person, I don't know, separate as much you can from it. But then that activity is not so much for relaxing. It's more for giving you the space, like you said earlier, giving you the space and the ability to go back into the problem and solve the problem. Because then when we finally resolved that lawsuit, okay, that's when I actually was unstressed. not just like, well, I'm getting a lawsuit, let me go drink or let me go do whatever and let me go do something, forget about my problem. But now the lawsuit's not done. Now I got a lawsuit and my company's gone. Now I'm, you know what I mean? That's not, for me, that's not getting away from your problems. Doesn't make me less relaxed. I got to solve the problem. So if you first, the first step is identifying what is the problem. So of course, if the lawsuit is right in your face, but otherwise, if you just feel bad, like, are you in an industry you don't want to be in? Are you working for someone who is just not letting you make decisions or not letting you grow in your company because you have literally no say in anything and your life is miserable because you can never get on at work? At that point, the solution is not, hey, what do I do on the weekend to, you know, decompress and then go back on Monday to do the same thing? No. You could go and do a walk or do this or talk to somebody, whatever. But at the end of the day, you have to solve the fact that your job is miserable. And until you solve that, you're not going to be unstressed. So I, for me, right now, I actually, like, I haven't felt, like, stressed out for a while. Because there's no, like, major emergency. I'll have fun making the products that we're going to make. I have fun doing the strategies.
Do you do anything to decompress?
I mean, I have. Like, yes. But I would say the fact of needing to decompress has a source.
That's correct.
That is the most important thing. And
finding out what that source is.
That's it. So for me now, yes. Do I have some leisure time? Sure. Like, okay, we just saw the Beekeeper. That was a movie. It was a thing. It was funny. It was action. It was great. We're going to go out, you know, obviously tomorrow on Valentine's Day. You know, there's movies. I was on like a stint of like video games for like every Saturday I'll play Saturday. But that's honestly, video games are not so much also unstressing because a lot of times you get stressed out. Like a lot of times video games will stress you out because you go, you play and like, boom, like, okay, I win three in a row and then I lose two in a row or something. And then I'm stressed out. So sometimes a video game is not an unstressor. It is an activity that is like takes up your time and it's entertaining and whatever. A lot of times it is not an unstressor, depending on what game you're playing.
Right.
If you get shot all the time and this and blah, it's not like an unstressor. I just want to tell you that. Like it's not an unstressor. It's maybe something you do. Anyway, but the thing to like relax and get away from it, if you have a problem and you're like, you are stressed, if you're stressed at work and you have a computer job, go do something away from the computer for a while until you kind of change your view and then like tackle it again. That's what I would say and what I do. Right now, I haven't been stressed. I mean, the same times I might get stressed if there's like an issue with the kids and I'm like, okay, good. Rather than like, I don't know, go and be on video games for a day or go and drink or go in or whatever. I'm not saying those things are the same. But okay, let's have a sit. Let's have a seat. And like, I'll go either sit down with Luna and we'll talk with her or something like that. Or we'll go on a walk. And then we resolve the situation. The biggest de-stressor is go either with the person you're upset with or have a problem with, go for a walk with them, talk it out. And then when you get that resolution, that's when you get unstressed, not when you go somewhere else. Now, again, the somewhere else, for me, walk is amazing. That's the number one, that going out for a walk, especially if you're with someone, you go on a walk together and you keep walking and you go walk for an hour, 2 hours, this, blah. Relax. Video games do not unstress me. It just doesn't happen.
Got it.
Yeah. But anyway, I haven't, I said until March, at least I'm going to take a little, what is it called? A
sabbatical?
Yeah. No, but there's a word for it. Like a detox. So that's what happens.
Beautiful. Well, I have one more question for you. It's, are there lessons you learned in business that you find applying to life more generally? Are there any lessons you find yourself teaching your kids?
Well, lessons.
I'm going to start?
Yes.
Okay. So, I would say the biggest lesson, man, I, you know what's crazy about, I'll tell you, I've never shared this before. One lesson that I learned, and I'm still kind of learning it, when we first started in business, I did not want to be the face of anything. I didn't want to show my face. I didn't want to be there. I wanted to have like some, you know, I made these blogs. It's like network of blogs and this. And it was like, my name is nowhere, using an alias, nothing is shown, no picture, hidden. And It was very hard. It was very hard. And I spent 4 months, 5 months, 6 months. And at the very end of it, my best month ever was like $280 that came to my pocket. And that's not even counting the server fees and other stuff. So it was like, let's say $200 a month for 3 months. It was like the peak. A lot of work. And I would say the piece that was missing is that I was not even there. I'm trying to hide. I'm trying to not be there and put it in. And it was very hard. And finally, when we said, okay, it went later on. No, I'm here. If you look at Zulai Kitchen, we're there. Our pictures are on everything. You are there because you can't, I don't know, hide. You can't expect to like throw something out there and no one knows who you are and you're hidden and this and blah. I just, it didn't work for me. That right. strategy, some people do that, okay? It didn't work for me. It's like, no, I can be out there. And more importantly is, when you're fully into it and you say, this is what I'm going to do and everyone can see it and this, and I'm not worried about it because I know I can provide value here or whatever it is. I'm not worried putting my face there. Because also I was like, my writing was bad. This thing, I don't know. I don't want to see my face. I don't even know what I was worried about. But like, it wasn't fully there. Now, okay, I spoke at this event with the Czech Republic, 6,000 people. I don't know any of those people. Yes. It was crazy. I'm like, let's go. Because it's, not being worried, just letting go of the worry. It's been really nice. And so now we're out there. There's no hiding. And that's worked very well. And I think in life, it's similar, right? If I am going to go do something, an event or whatever, blah. If I want to do it, I should go all in.
Right.
And not be worried about it and approach it in that aspect, because similar, if you're feeling like it has to be hidden or this or some issue, it may not go out. It might not turn out that well. And so in terms of teaching my kids is, I haven't talked to her yet, but I'll, Luna and then Violet and then Kai and then our baby coming, would be, you know, don't be afraid to be out there, because people, when you talk to people and you're there and you're real and they know who you are, that creates something.
I would say that you have definitely helped Luna with that. You never stopped her from going to talk to strangers.
That's true.
In her entire life. Like, she's one of those kids that would just go talk to people. And I'm sure people have judged us for that. And so you've definitely gotten her to be out there and not be backed off or shy.
Yeah. Oh, and go, like, deciding what you want and then going to do it. So that job I had and this background job coming, I'm like, I did this. I want to go to the next level. And they're like, well, you can't. Okay, then you switch. I think the ability to pivot and to like not be so tied down to one thing. It's like, it's what's the big deal? What's like kind of just having this sort of nonchalant, like, it's okay. Okay, let's go on to the next thing, and having that sort of carefree. That's why, okay, I did probably, what, 3 or 4 businesses before Amazon. They all failed miserably.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like, oh my gosh, no, it's like, okay, let's do the next one. Let's keep trying. Because something will fit. Something's going to work out. So I guess that's it.
Right. Okay. It's great. So the only thing that I can think of at this moment that I have already like worked with them on is treating, like having them treat others with kindness and compassion and the importance of that. And if they're talking bad about somebody else, that, oh, blah, blah, da, 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 to me. Okay. So what did you do to blah, blah, blah? Okay. So what did you do? Because it's not only one way. And usually when there's a disagreement or there is some kind of a fight, in school or in life, it's not just one person that creates that. There's always two people. There's always two sides. So I've learned that in life in general. It's not specifically having to do with business. It's more of a life experience thing that I've had to, that I've gone over with them. And the reason I'm saying that, you have to understand our kids, just one just turned 9, the other one just turned 6, and the other one is 1.5. So experiences and knowledge we have in business, I haven't really gone into that with them. You know, we're still in math. We're still learning beginning subjects of math. And I don't think we're at that point where I'm going to get into absolutely business knowledge with my kids yet. I will. We will absolutely. Erin is already getting into.
One of Luna's things sold. She just shipped it. We just shipped it to Amazon.
Yes, he went through a whole process.
It took her 2 weeks to ship this thing to Amazon after we printed the label. But okay, so it's there.
He went through this whole process with Luna, literally on listing something on Amazon to get sold, to resell something. So that was like one step. She also does videos here, but they're for social media. It's definitely helpful, but... I'm just saying.
What about persistence?
To not give up?
Yeah.
I think we've definitely gone over that with them.
Yeah.
And not giving up. That's true.
It's actually really sweet. Like, and running.
Running.
But not just running. It's been other things too. And like, say we're, whatever. Yeah, and running. Let's say running. She's like, okay, I'm going to persist. And she's like, oh. She's going. But also, anyway.
Oh my gosh, I have this story. Go ahead. So, Erin was doing this 5K. Were you doing a 5K? Or I think you were doing a 10K and then Luna was going to do the 5K.
Oh, yeah.
She was literally, she had broken her arm like 3 weeks, or her wrist 3 weeks prior. So she still had her cast on. But she wanted, and she had sandals on. She had a Birkenstocks. And I was like, Luna, you should put some tennis shoes on. You're going to do the 5K. She's like, no, I want to wear my Birkenstocks. I'm like, okay, fine. That's your choice. And, so she literally did this 5K. She was running almost the entire way and she had a cast on and Birkenstocks. And she was like pushing herself not to stop. She set such a great example that other people literally mentioned to me that are full adults. There was two people. They said they saw this little girl with a cast on and the Birkenstocks and she's running.
Okay. Well, they know Luna.
Yes, they do.
Yeah. Wasn't a girl. Yes. They saw Luna.
They saw Luna.
Yeah. So there's a, like, there was a mile turn. So there's a 10K, a 5K, and a 1 miler, right?
Yes.
So then what happened is two of our friends were running, husband and wife, and a guy, I don't know who said, but they're like, hey, we're going to turn.
They weren't fully even running.
Yeah. Okay, they weren't running. Whatever it was. Yeah, half running, half walking. The 1 mile thing was coming by, and literally Luna passed them. Luna passed them running. And they see Luna with the sandals, the cast. She's eight at the time. And literally passed them, and she's going for the full 5K. And they said, oops, we're not going to the 1 mile because they paid for the 5K, and we're going to stop and just do the mile because they were getting tired or whatever. And then they're like, Luna? Okay, we're going to keep up with Luna. And then they stayed with Luna the whole time. And they did the 5K. So is that,
that's right.
She was persisting and went up the hills and the bridge and everything. So it was great.
Yep. That was it.
Nice. Okay, excellent. So then, good. So that was Whitney. Thank you for coming on.
You're welcome.
And blessing the podcast with your beauty.
Of course.
And your knowledge.
Yes.
And here we are. If you guys have questions, please like message me or Whitney on Instagram, on LinkedIn, wherever you'd like. And we'll answer this question. We'll get your questions and we'll see which ones we can answer here on the show.
Absolutely.
Thank you guys. And please leave a review, share it with a friend. I'm sure there's somebody who you know would love or would benefit from this episode. So please share it with them. This is for free. We're doing it absolutely for free. We're not charging anything. So thanks.